This Friday, the Valley Public History Initiative at Fresno State is debuting Roots and Roots, Fresno's global soccer history. And that's Roots, R-O-O-T-S, and Roots, R-O-U-T-E-S. It's a project documenting the sport through oral histories, photos, and other documents, with a focus on Latin American immigrants who have made huge contributions to make soccer in Fresno what it is today. In our studios to discuss the project, we have Romeo Guzman, Assistant Professor of History at Fresno State, and Tyler Caffey, a Fresno State student himself. So, Romeo, starting with you, what was the impetus for this? Was there just a moment where you thought, we don't know enough about the history of this sport, or something else?
Yeah, I teach public history, I teach oral history, and I direct the Valley Public History Initiative. And I always tell my students that they should really research and write what they love. And I've been researching and writing the history of migration for about 10, 12 years, which I love. But at some point, I realized I should take my own advice and I should also do the things that I love. And I just accidentally got invited to a conference to talk about soccer. And as I was doing that, Tyler Caffey was also started digging into the history of soccer in Visalia. And then a bunch of other students got really excited. So really sort of it was just finally following my own advice, as well as my students sort of taking initiative and us coming together and deciding to sort of document the history of soccer in the Valley.
So almost a passion project that became sort of this true project that people are interested in that hasn't been documented before?
Yeah, it really hasn't. There's one book about soccer in the Central Valley, and it's like the 80s and 90s, which is really, really fascinating. But there definitely has not been any sort of thorough effort to document the history of soccer from its beginnings in the 1920s and then really when it explodes in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And one of the unique things about all our projects at the Valley Public History Initiative is that it's not Latino history, it's not like white history, right? It's always multi-ethnic. So while we've done a lot of work with Latinos, we just interviewed someone over at the Portuguese club. We're very excited to learn more about the Armenian soccer team. And ultimately, the history of soccer in the Valley is a history of the many ethnicities that come together to play soccer.
I want to share a clip from one person you interviewed for this project, Jaime Ramirez. He was the first coach of Fresno Fuego, which is the precursor team to today's Fresno football club, the Foxes. He was born in Mexicali, was undocumented in the U.S., but went to high school here and worked. And then ended up, after he graduated from high school, was working for a Japanese-American farmer and playing soccer at the time when a ref spotted him who was a Fresno Pacific coach. His name was Ben Norton. Norton asked if he could meet with Jaime, so they met up for dinner, and here's what Jaime says happened next.
You know, the first thing I said, hey, listen, coach, appreciate the meeting, but I just need to let you know that, you know, this is my situation. I don't have papers. Just wanted you to know. Well, I said, well, I would like to propose this. We're going to offer you an I-20 international student visa form to take to Tijuana, to the American consulate there, and seek a student visa to return.
Again, that was Jaime Ramirez talking about how Fresno Pacific coach Ben Norton offered him a chance to play at FPU with a student visa. Now, that's not where it ends, because Jaime's first attempt to get that visa was denied. But in hearing this story, it sounds like the sport became this opportunity for Jaime, an opportunity for education and even citizenship. Was that a common theme or maybe a through line in a lot of the stories you heard, that soccer equated opportunity, or is soccer something different for different people in your oral histories?
No, definitely. That's definitely sort of a really more sort of through line and point and something that we keep hearing many, many times. And I think one of the really interesting things about Jaime is that he was, he's a migrant farm worker, and he learns a lot from this Japanese farmer. He doesn't play soccer in junior high. He plays soccer at Clovis, and he actually doesn't really get scouted. So he gets noticed because he's playing, for Ara, the Armenian team. Mm-hmm. And the ref happens to be the coach at Fresno Pacific. So the ref notices him playing on the Sunday League team, and that's how he gets picked up. So there's this way in which Jaime Ramirez has always sort of taken that to heart, both like Sunday League and what it means to sort of be part of the soccer community. It's not like a formal community in terms of like the college universities, and also the strength and dignity and work ethic that folks are provided by being farm workers. So one of the things that Jaime has become known for is that he's created opportunities for other migrant farm worker children throughout the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. So one of the things that he told us about was that very early on, he would actually go to people's homes and speak to the parents in Spanish and explain to them, right, that they had laid the foundation for their children's future and success, and that he was just going to continue that, but in a different setting.
And then, so Tyler, turning to you, Romeo mentioned that you were interested in soccer. Can you talk a little bit about how you realized that could be your thesis or your project?
My first initial research on soccer was I had a friend that was doing commentary for the Fresno Fuego, And Dr. Guzman had us do a project, and I had asked him, my friend, Adrian Leveno, I said, do you know anybody I can interview over at the club? He said, oh, do you want to interview the general manager, Jeremy Schultz? I said, yeah, sure, let's set it up. I went over to Chancy Park, met him in his office. We talked for like a good hour and a half during the oral history interview. It was this really cool story where, because he started playing soccer in like the late 80s, early 90s. So his trajectory through the story that I told when I wrote the paper off of the oral history, it kind of paralleled like when the United States was starting to get the MLS and the Major League Soccer, the current professional, tier one professional league in the United States.
Wow. And so then, I guess, continuing through and being a part of the Roots and Roots project, did you conduct more oral histories or documentation? What was your role?
So after that, I applied for a research grant at Fresno State. I got that, and I started doing archival research at the Tulare County Library in Visalia. A lot of newspapers. I went through old yearbooks. And then I've conducted six oral histories. I just conducted two this last week. And through that, it's just, for me, it's fun because it's putting all of these things together and trying to make a story. And one of the first things I found out about my research on Visalia is the first team was started in 1967 by a man named Nahid Al-Askari, who's a migrant from Iraq. Turns out like his family was part of the governing bureaucracy. There was this really crazy story about it. Turns out he ended up in Visalia and there was no soccer team. So he had to ask, he taught at Mount Whitney High School. And he had asked them, can I start a soccer team? And they laughed at him because nobody played soccer there. You know, it's a football country. And for 2 years, he just begged them. And then finally, 1967, they, all right, you could start a team. And it was just a really crazy story. And then it ended up, that's what started the soccer in Visalia. And then from there, it just grew and grew and grew.
That sounds so funny now when you say people laughed at him back then, but soccer is so popular everywhere now that that would almost be laughable in and of itself.
Exactly.
And so I want to bring up another couple of people you guys interviewed, Tony and Francisco Alvarez. They're two founders of the Fresno Fuego team. They knew Jaime Ramirez. We don't have time to play clips from them, but I wanted to ask, do you think Fresno soccer would be what it is today if those two individuals or even Jaime Ramirez hadn't come along?
No, definitely not. I mean, I think they're truly pioneers. And I think the other thing that's really unique about Jaime and also Francisco and Tony is that they're bringing soccer universes together through the Fuego. So the Fuego is possible because there was a really strong adult league here, and that adult league dates to 1958. And in 1960, you have a team called Club Mexico, which is composed of predominantly Mexican players. From 1960 until, you know, when the Fuego was founded, Club Mexico was a solid, solid team, right? So what Fuego did really was it provided a space for these adult league players to play, provided a space for Fresno Pacific, for Fresno State players. It provided a place for even really talented high school players. And I think that was the first time that you had a team that could sort of bring all these different soccer universes together. And of course, Jaime and the Alvarez brothers were foundational to that.
And so this project overall has been a year in the making. And turning to this weekend's event, what is the culmination of this? What can attendees expect?
On Friday night, right before the Fresno FC game, it's a Fuego throwback. And we're going to have a panel with former Fuego players and coaches and managers right before the game at Tioga Sequoia. So folks that are interested in learning more about the history of soccer here can sort of learn about the origins of Fuego and its development. And then on Saturday, we're going to have a series of panels. We'll have a panel on fandom with all the fan clubs from the Fresno FC. So the Fire Squad will be there, the Vigilantes will be there, the Sculpt will be there. And we're going to ask, what is fandom? But also we're going to ask, what should we expect of our club? Right, so what expectations do we have? Do we get to set the priorities for what we expect from our club? Right now, the big debate is where the stadium is going to be. So like,
where the stadium is going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do we as fans have a say in that? And if they leave Fresno, do we have a say in what that stadium should look like? Mm-hmm. So questions like that. We'll also have a panel on women's soccer, where we'll have very prominent players and coaches that will discuss the future and past of women's soccer, and then we'll also have a keynote by Josh Nadell, who just wrote a book with Brenda Elsley about the history of soccer, women's soccer in Latin America. And of course, one of the things that we always do is we always structure our events to have what we call walk-in oral histories. So one of the things that we learn is the more we learn, the more we figure out what we don't know. So for example, you know, the Armenian community, even the history of the Fuego, right? There's so many people that were fundamental to that. We still don't really know that entire history. So we're hoping to encourage folks to contribute, and we're hoping to do that by in two ways. One is on Friday, we'll likely pass out trading cards, brand new trading cards of important players and coaches. And then on Saturday, anyone who gives us an oral history or who brings a photograph that we can scan will be entered into a raffle to win a brand new t-shirt that we're going to unveil on Friday.
We've been speaking to history professor Romeo Guzman and student Tyler Caffey, both at Fresno State, about Roots and Roots, Fresno's global soccer history. The event is Friday and Saturday, a culmination of documenting soccer's history in Fresno and the Central Valley. You can find more info about this online from the Valley Public History Initiative at Fresno State. They have a Facebook page and event details all there. I want to say thank you both for coming in and telling me about this.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.